Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome everyone in this morning, and I know we've probably got quite a few people this morning that are, using the self-quarantine and staying around the house this morning, and hopefully quite a few folks might be listening in to us this morning here on the Clay County Corner, where we come to you live and live in color each Thursday morning at 9 a.m. in the morning on WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And like to, of course, once again welcome you here, and hopefully we'll have some good information going on today. I know we have Miss Natalie Boone from the EMS services. She'll be up here in a few minutes to talk a little bit about what's going on with our health situation throughout Clay County and Tennessee and throughout the world. And got some of that. And then Mayor Reagan's going to come by and talk about the schedule of the county offices and things going on here on the county level just in a few minutes. But we'd actually like to thank everyone that makes it possible for us to be here each Thursday morning. And we, of course, really want to, everyone that would be interested in being a sponsor on the show to give a call up at the main office and see about getting that done. And we, like we come to you each Thursday morning here. We have a rebroadcast this evening at 6 o'clock, and then we have a streaming broadcast on the Del Hollow Horizon newspaper site. And with that, I'm going to just go ahead and we'll switch back and do a couple of commercials, and we'll be back with you in just a few minutes.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
This message is from the National Council on Aging. Adults over age 60 are at higher risk for the COVID-19 coronavirus because they may have weaker immune systems or chronic health conditions. The Centers for Disease Control recommends older adults avoid crowds and people who are sick. Wash your hands and disinfect surfaces often. Keep a 2-week supply of food and medicine on hand. Learn more at ncoa.org.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Everyone should help stop the spread of germs, such as the novel coronavirus known as COVID-19. Here are some things you can do. Cough or sneeze into a tissue or sleeve, not in your hands. Wash your hands often with soap and water. Use alcohol-based hand sanitizer if you can't wash your hands right away. The Kentucky Department of Health has set up a hotline to help answer your COVID-19 questions. You can call 1-800-722-5725. This public service announcement brought to you by this station.
Welcome back, everyone. I just spoke to Miss Natalie Boone. She's on her way up. She'll be here just in a few minutes. Of course, we'd like to remind everyone that each Thursday morning here on the hour, we have our birthday and anniversary cake giveaway, and we'll be doing that, reading the names off here in a few minutes, and toward the end of the show, we'll be giving away one of those cakes. And I know, as usual, I look through my history on this day, and I kind of thought this one was kind of a prophetic type thing. In 1953, on this day, Dr. Jonas Salk announced his perfection discovery of the vaccine to prevent polio, which was another deadly virus, a crippling virus that hit this country in the early 50s. And so, you know, this the virus thing we're going through is not necessarily, you know, not a new thing, but of course each one of these comes along, seems like in the past years or so, each one has been a different, something we hadn't seen before, and something that we really weren't prepared for. And, you know, those type things are something that, you know, that really it shows the strength of our nation when these things happen. You know, sometimes we tend to drift apart, sometimes over politics or whatever, or just ideas of how the government ought to be run and things like that. But, you know, when we have one of these things, it seems like it draws us together in a very, very good way. like I said, Natalie will be here just in a few minutes. And until she gets here, of course, we'll remind everyone that, our schools are closed. All of our county offices and things like that are closed. And I believe I saw last night on the news that the governor has requested that all schools remain closed until April the 27th. And I know some of the things that have been canceled, I know Randy reminded me in the background a few minutes ago that the Rod Run had been rescheduled, that it was scheduled to take place around April the 15th, 16th, somewhere along in there, and they've rescheduled it. I think maybe it's like sometime about a month or so later, sometime in May. So I know we have quite a few folks that attend that every year. So that's been postponed. And update on our high school athletics. I think the 2SAA folks, the governing body, still hasn't completely given up the hopes of having the completion of the girls' state tournament and the holding of the boys' state tournament. I know they have kind of looked at it. If we get back in school early enough and they can get the facilities set up and get the agreement of the schools, of course, that if they want to still take place and have the state tournament, that they're looking at that sometime, you know, later on in the spring, sometime maybe in May also. So those things are still kind of on hold. And with our schools closed, I think most all of our schools have done away with all inter-school activities, the spring sports, things like that. I think they have done away with that. I know there is the local school systems are in charge of that. You know, in our state high school athletic association here, I think the association sets rules, regulations, and timelines and things like that. But regular season activities, they don't govern those. You know, that's kind of left up to the schools. But I think mutually, most of the schools, there may be a few somewhere or another that are still trying to hold some types of activities. But I don't think any of them are doing much along that line now. That we are We're doing a pretty good job here in the state of Tennessee with our social distancing, and I do know that we have folks that are getting out and doing their exercising, running, maybe a couple of people at a time, or by lonesome runners and walkers out on their own. And I know I've got a whole bunch of statistics pulled up here in front of me that we may talk a little bit about. Natalie just came flying in here. I think you said you've been meeting with the mayor a few minutes?
Yes, sir.
Well, you could have just held off. You guys could have met up here.
Met up here and met together.
But we're kind of trying to do our social distancing here, too, instead of bringing in numerous guests. We've got Natalie and I, and I think I measured it off. We're maybe about, we're close to something.
I think we got it.
And, you know, of course, you know, this is really not a humorous thing, but, you know, at times like this, you have to have something that, you know, we can't be gloom and doom all the time. But, Natalie, it's great to see you here with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
I know, and before we get into the emergency we've got, have you got any announcement about our new equipment or anything with our grants and things?
Yes,
Natalie Boone with the EMS service. She's the director down there.
The county did apply for that grant. I think we talked about that back last fall sometime, and we have received our cardiac monitors. That gives us now 4 new top-of-the-line cardiac monitors, one for each ambulance. The new ambulance that we applied for in the grant, last I heard a couple weeks ago, the anticipated finish date on that is April the 17th. Not sure how this ordeal is gonna affect that. It may get pushed out a little bit farther, but we'll certainly be glad to have it.
So that's not one of those things where you go to the catalog and order it, is
it? No, it takes we placed the order in November.
Okay, and on something like that, I know everything has to be special built, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it? And I know a lot of them are on just normal American truck chassis.
Yes.
And we know that that's not the way they come to you all, is it?
No.
And just to give the folks an idea of what all goes into getting that part back behind the cab ready.
Oh, it's a pretty impressive process. They, of course, the one of our holdups has been the change in the manufacturers and the chassis and the diesel engines, gas engines, so we kind of had to make some adjustments there. And then once the ambulance manufacturer takes possession of that chassis, we have to allow them 120 days. So it's a pretty neat process, miles and miles of wiring and all that good stuff in there. And, of course, there's all kinds of federal and state guidelines that those have to meet, and certifications, safety ratings that have to be in there, that are required.
You know, and I'm sure you know you're talking about all that wiring. Just the electrical system in one of those things. I mean, really and truly, you're a rolling self-sufficient mini type doctor's office,
yes.
aren't you?
Yes.
And you have lots of equipment in there that do run off of electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I'm sure you got a big generator in there that takes care of all.
We do have an inverter, a pretty substantial inverter that will operate any electrical equipment that we have.
Okay. Now, with that, let's talk about some other things. I know that the Memorial Day celebration here at the courthouse. I haven't heard anything about that yet. That's probably a iffy type thing. I do know that the sesquicentennial celebration has been postponed to an indefinite date, sometime in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we have quite a few. Here within the next couple of months, you know, we have a little time right now in the county where there's not a lot of countywide activities going on, probably because of high school graduations and proms and things like that. That you know, kind of the high schools take priority here in the spring. But you know, we're going to be in the season here before long where we have some activities that countywide activities that took place.
Yes,
and we do know that we can't bring people in. And a little thing I saw the other day, auctions,
mm-hmm.
sales, things like that. You know, it's things that we don't really think about.
Yeah, it's the small things that you don't your day-to-day things that you do in a day's time that now you're having to back up and go about that a different way. So
there goes some of your folks now.
There they go.
Okay, now. As soon as they quiet down here in a minute.
We tend to get a little noisy.
I think I heard a run sometime mid-morning this morning.
Yes. Yep. This is 9:15, and that's number two for the day.
Okay, now let me ask you this on a much lighter note. What about Mr. Alan King? Has he left the services here completely?
He has not. Of course, we were very sad to see him go. But at the same time, as an EMS employee, I was very, very sad to see him go. But at the same time, you know, he has worked extremely hard. He's put in a lot of hard work, blood, sweat, and tears, and a lot of dedication. And so, absolutely ecstatic for him.
I think he now is an employee of the Cookeville Fire Department.
He is. He left in March, beginning of March, to take a position as a full-time fireman with Cookeville City Fire, but we're not letting him get away completely. He's going to stay and work part-time here at EMS. He's still the fire chief at East 52, and so, we're not letting him go completely.
Okay, now, we don't want to completely lose our folks that have been in leadership.
No, absolutely not.
But, of course, we wish him the best in his
absolutely. You know, when he came in my office and told me that he had gotten this position, he was... You could tell it was a hard decision for him to make, and I told him, the thing about it was, yes, I hate to lose him. Kills my soul to see him go, but at the same time, if he gets this opportunity and doesn't take it, I would probably kick him in the rear end.
Folks down there, you guys down there, you're a family down there. And of course, when you work hard, you train your folks and everything. And it's a two-edged sword. When one of them, you have trained them so well, and they work so hard themselves to receive all this training, and it's time to leave the nest.
Yes.
It's tough to do, but then you're glad for them, and you're sad for yourself a little bit.
Absolutely, it is a double-edged sword. But one of the things since I've been in that position as the director there, one thing I try to do is, I read this on Facebook, but, I kind of took it to heart, is train your people well enough so that they can leave, but treat them well enough so that they won't want to.
Right. That's the whole idea behind any type of training, any type of education, is, the folks that you train, and, you know the pride, like as a teacher, when you have a student that graduates from high school and they make it all the way through law school, they make it all the way through medical school, you feel like, that maybe somewhere along the line that you did the right thing, you said the right thing, and you take pride in that.
Absolutely.
But, you know that's your job.
Yes.
To make sure that the folks that you teach, you learn, are able to advance farther than you have.
Absolutely. That's my hope and my goal for every one of them down there. I want to see them go farther than I ever dreamed of going.
Okay, with that, let's take a little short break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the county readiness for you if we have the emergency. We'll be back just in a minute.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
This message is from the National Council on Aging. Adults over age 60 are at higher risk for the COVID-19 coronavirus because they may have weaker immune systems or chronic health conditions. The Centers for Disease Control recommends older adults avoid crowds and people who are sick. Wash your hands and disinfect surfaces often. Keep a two-week supply of food and medicine on hand. Learn more at ncoa.org.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Everyone should help stop the spread of germs, such as the novel coronavirus known as COVID-19. Here are some things you can do. Cough or sneeze into a tissue or sleeve, not in your hands. Wash your hands often with soap and water. Use alcohol-based hand sanitizer if you can't wash your hands right away. The Kentucky Department of Health has set up a hotline to help answer your COVID-19 questions. You can call 1-800-722-5725. This public service announcement brought to you by this station.
Welcome back, everyone. Natalie, before we start talking, Mayor Reagan just walked in, and while we were off camera here, you guys were having a good conversation, and I think some of that conversation back and forth between you two guys are something we need to converse out to the rest of the folks here in a few minutes. But, you know, I pulled up some screens here on the computer this morning, you know, just looking at some of the stats worldwide, and, you know, the first two stats that hit you right smack in the face are China and Italy, and you look there, and they're you know, a little over 80,000 cases in China, and about 75,000 in Italy, and you look at the population, and the across through there, and you look over at the total cases per million population, and these are, you know, in China, 56 cases per million people, and then in Italy, 3,500 per million people, and you know that's a, you know you wonder, you know, is it a lot? Was it more carelessness? Not following the stay-at-home orders or, you know, things like that. And, you know, you're looking on down through there, you have a country like Switzerland, another small country. And I guess, you know, their population in Switzerland, it was pretty, but, you know, it seems like, you know, you think of Switzerland as a place of a lot of tourists, especially this time of the year, folks from all over the world there. And, you know, and that type of thing, you know, seems like a, of course, one of the first things that we did in this country was to look at these so-called tourist nations. And, one of the biggest problems that we had right off the bat was the cruise industry.
Yes.
Because a lot of those crews, the crews on the cruise ships were of Italian-based. Mm-hmm. And they carried the virus on board those ships, apparently. And we had, you know, quite a bit of a problem with that. But I think now we kind of, since they were totally isolated, then the few that did get off, I think, you know, we caught most of those here in this nation. And, you know, it's just kind of looking down through. And also another thing you'll notice, I noticed on this, that most of the cases here, maybe with the exception of Australia, are in the Western Hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
The Northern Hemisphere, up in the Europe, the United States, the more civilized, the more thickly populated. You know, there are some, of course, down in South America, in Mexico, but, you know, they're kind of minute compared to some of the other nations,
yes,
aren't they? You know, and looking at the United States, you know, I'm looking down through here. I know they have, like, we've just got all kinds of statistics here, and one of the statistic that you cannot help but see, and that is New York, with about up close to 35,000 total cases, and the next closest to it is New Jersey, which is right next door to them with about 4,500.
Yeah.
You know, do we have any kind of explanation for that?
I'm not sure. I don't have one.
And I guess New York City was a place where lots of people walked every day. I mean, you know, if you've ever, we see the pictures of the Wall Street folks and all over New York City, look like people are shoulder to shoulder. They were shoulder to shoulder every day there.
And I think it also comes into play as well, even when you get into Tennessee and you look at the counties across our state. Anytime you have those major travel hubs, it seems that the numbers there are higher in those areas just because there's so many people traveling.
So many flights in and out of Nashville and
absolutely.
So many tourists. And the tourist attractions, the events that were scheduled, the events that took place just prior to this. And I know looking at our county, we haven't, you know, we can knock on wood that we haven't had that yet. And I think maybe there have been maybe a case or two over in Putnam County.
Yes. Yesterday, the last I saw, I think Putnam County was up to 8 cases. Overton County's had 1 confirmed. And as you say, knock on wood, as of right now, Clay County is still holding at 0. I think it would probably be irresponsible to think that we're going to continue that trend.
Right.
We're working every day to be prepared and be more prepared, and we're learning about this virus every day. I know it's a lot of people. I'm sure there's a lot of frustration out there in the public. There's frustration on our side from the emergency management side because it is such a fluid and dynamic situation. It's changing rapidly. Guidance today comes out, and then, now we're having to back up and punt. Now we've learned this. So guidance changes, recommendations change. So,
okay, now, and of course, the coronavirus thing is in addition to your normal day-to-day. Kind of tell us how it's changed for you all a little bit. Some of the things maybe that the state or the federal government has mandated now that you must do.
We will continue to follow CDC guidance and Tennessee Department of Health guidance. I am up to now a minimum of 3 conference calls per week with both TEMA, and then I have one each week. I have 2 a week with TEMA, and then there's one once a week with our Upper Cumberland EMS Directors Association and our regional health folks. And a few of the things that we've done, of course, we're inventorying and tracking all of our PPE right now, our personal protective equipment. Those are just things. We had the N95 mask. We had some of those. We didn't have a huge supply of them. We don't have a huge supply of the gowns or the Tyvek suits. Those are things that we don't use on a regular basis. And being in a smaller county, you need those funds, you need those dollars spent elsewhere on those things that you do use more frequently. So, we didn't have an abundance of PPE. So I'm still working on that. We've been able to acquire some, we've got some we do have N95 masks. The community has been great. This week they've started making us the handmade face masks, dropping those off to us, and so we are very, very grateful for that. And they keep assuring us we're going to bring you more. So that's been great.
I got a call on those. These folks know sometimes I've been known to work on old cars and wear masks, and I got a call from with someone in the family, and they'll say, have you got any of those N95 masks? And I said, well, I don't know. I said, I think I used some of them back when I was grinding a lot of rust and Bondo dust. And I went and looked, and sure enough, I had access to, I think maybe 3 or 4 of those things, which, I'd really forgotten that I'd had them. And
you have that stuff laying around.
In EMS here, you can't afford to have $100,000 worth of equipment laying back there just waiting and in anticipation of something like this happening.
No, we can't.
You're too spread too thin already.
We are, and you know, even if you had the funds to do that, we don't have the storage to store all of that stuff. So, you know, it has been interesting as the guidance has came out and evolved. We were laughing about it this morning. You know, not that it's a laughing matter, but you know, as you said earlier, you have to find some humor somewhere. And I thought, you know, I thought we were well past those days of where we were no longer reusing masks or this or that. And, you know, and that's the current guidance that, you know, if it's not completely saturated or sold, you know, they're recommending that we reuse those. And, you know, you hear Jimmy Philpott talk. Jimmy has been an EMS for 46 years, and, you know, we've all heard those stories from him about reusing, washing and reusing, and, you know, and here we are again, so.
Okay, now I think I'll take a little bit of a break here and read my birthdays off. Mayor Reagan's here with us, and come back, and I'm going to let you two guys hold a little conversation between you two for a few minutes about some of the things, how it's affected, of course, the county, and how it's affecting, and how the effect of the things that were done in Congress in the Senate last night, you know, what anticipation some of those things are, and that type thing here in just a few minutes. But right now, we've got some birthdays and anniversaries, and I've got one here that's a belated birthday, Bernice Rush. She finally got through the call to wish her granddaughter a happy birthday last week, and she got the call in at 10:05 last week. So we'll wish Haney Hunter, Bernice's granddaughter, a very happy birthday from Grandma. And also celebrating here in the local area, right across, Jimmy White celebrated the birthday yesterday, and Wilma Brown celebrate the birthday, and they're looking on down through Candy Carlisle on the 20th, Talmadge Slaughter, and Sean Hatcher both celebrated their birthday this past week. But we'd like to wish all those folks a happy birthday and hope you have many, many more. And folks, give us a call here at 243-5574. And here in just a few minutes, we'll find a winner of the birthday cake for today. But with that, we'll be back just in a minute.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
This message is from the National Council on Aging. Adults over age 60 are at higher risk for the COVID-19 coronavirus because they may have weaker immune systems or chronic health conditions. The Centers for Disease Control recommends older adults avoid crowds and people who are sick. Wash your hands and disinfect surfaces often. Keep a 2-week supply of food and medicine on hand. Learn more at ncoa.org.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Everyone should help stop the spread of germs, such as the novel coronavirus known as COVID-19. Here are some things you can do. Cough or sneeze into a tissue or sleeve, not in your hands. Wash your hands often with soap and water. Use alcohol-based hand sanitizer if you can't wash your hands right away. The Kentucky Department of Health has set up a hotline to help answer your COVID-19 questions. You can call 1-800-722-5725. This public service announcement brought to you by this station.
Welcome back, everyone. Back here, Mayor Dale Reagan's with us, and of course, Natalie Boone from the EMS services. Mayor Reagan, I think you just got off the phone. I know we had tried to get Mr. Matt Tuck here with us this morning, but I think he's got so much going on right now and activities with the health departments. And of course, we know he works in three counties. That's Clay, Jackson, and Macon.
Right.
But he told you that they did have an announcement for today.
Yeah, and thank you, Thomas, for giving us the opportunity this morning. And as you mentioned, I did just get off the phone with Matt, and he's our county coordinator for Department of Health here in our region. And they are going to start doing some screening out there at the health department at 1:30 to 3, or to 3:30 today. And then hopefully after that, you know, they would be getting set up maybe to do like an all day. I don't know if that'll be arranged for him to do that tomorrow or not, but he did tell me to let everyone know that they would be doing some screenings out there today, this afternoon, starting at 1:30 to 3:30.
Okay, now with that, with the screening, are we talking about, you know, just actually finding out the folks that need to be tested? Or are they going to be doing some tests there also, or are we just screening to get ready to do tests, Mayor? Do you know?
Well, my understanding is, you know, they're limited in the tests that they have.
Right.
And Natalie can probably elaborate on this a little bit more than I can, but I'm sure that when you go out there, they will ask you a series of questions and stuff like that to see if you weren't, if you're a good candidate for the test and everything. Natalie, you might not.
Yeah, my understanding is you go through that screening process, and then you either screen in or screen out for testing. If you meet that criteria for the testing, then they will then test you. If not, they will not. At this point, they will not, just due to the limited number of tests.
Okay, and I do know there's some big improvements in the testing process where, you know, that supposedly now that we have a test that it's not, you know, simultaneous, but it's a whole lot quicker results on them and that type of thing.
Yeah, I had saw that on the news. I don't know if that thing has actually came into use yet here in the state of Tennessee. Not sure how that's working, but, you know, that is a part of the problem, and I think that's one reason people are seeing the numbers spike or double, you know, almost double overnight, because it takes about 48 to 72 hours to get that test result back. So when you're testing so many and then they're coming in every day, and then there's also a backlog of tests. They can't get the test ran fast enough. So.
And sometimes, you know, folks will look at those numbers and it scares them, maybe scares them to death, and they, golly, has this just hit us all at once? And that's not true, is it?
No.
I mean, the virus has been here, but it's just been undetected because we haven't had, you know, the testing process in place to do the testing. And it doesn't mean that, you know, we're all in imminent danger of getting coronavirus.
No.
It just means that it's been present here and not known about.
And I think, too, that's one of the things that we want to, you know, get the message out to everyone that, you know, we want to be prepared, not scared. And, I mean, you know, we want to make sure that everybody is aware of the things that are taking place. And, yes, this is unprecedented times and stuff that are going across our country and certainly affecting our community as well. And we're beginning to see that now that we're all in this thing, and Natalie, me and her was talking this morning, you know, that this thing is changing on a daily basis, and there's things that we were on the phone yesterday with in discussion with our CTAS reps and our comptroller's office and different people and everything trying to get things lined up as far as continuing our very best to the services of the county government and everything, but it's changing on a daily basis. The governor gives his report every afternoon at 3 o'clock for us, and anyone that wants to tune into that, they can do that. And he's giving an update on that. And so that's I would advise everybody who can, if you would, you know, tune into that. And most of your, I know, I think Channel 5 or some of them are, mm-hmm. are televising that and everything. But you can go on the website. You can go on the website, the Tennessee website, and get on that too as live stream. And I don't know exactly how the name of that now, but Natalie probably does and everything. But that's where I've been going on to it. And we've been having a number of conference calls. I mean, Natalie was in a conference call day before yesterday, I think it was, and was on the phone probably right at...
hour and a half, yeah. and have another one scheduled today.
And so, like I said, things are changing on a daily basis here and everything, and I certainly want to extend a thank you to everyone out there and just ask you, everyone, to please, please be patient with us and everybody be aware of the situations that not just only us is having to deal with this, but everybody's having to deal with this right now.
This is the entire nation. And, you know, we look at the way some of the, you know, some of the things that we take, you know, little simple things, you know, like the thing with the driver's license. You know, I mean, in the small county of Clay, I know there's probably, I don't know how many people that have, you know, need to renew their license every day down there. And, of course, that's, you know, we can't do that. But, you know, our states are handling that. They're saying, you know, hey, we're not going to worry about it until this is over with.
Yeah.
You know, it just seems like a lot of common sense is floating to the top of the water here all at once. And things are on a common sense basis. And I do know the unemployment folks, you know, that we hear of the headaches in other places, but now we have, I'm sure right now, we have a pretty good sized labor force here in Clay County that's not working right now. And we do know that our offices here weren't equipped to handle all those people all at once. So, you know, patience is going to be required, and I do know, I'm sure very few people know exactly what was passed by the United States Senate last night, the full thing. But, you know, everybody looks on there, and everybody's looking forward. Hey, when do I get my $1,200?
Right, yeah.
And that's probably, I know it's a very important component of it, but it may be one of the least important for health-wise and long-range things. Of course, that is to light a fire under the economy, get a little money in circulation. But what about some of the things that may, you know, that may transpire from that on the local level? Mayor, if you have any idea of any of those things?
Well, I know that they've, in that bill, they've also put, you know, a number of funding that would go toward our health facilities and stuff to where that would enable them, you know, as far as, you know, on the PPE that I know Natalie has talked about this morning and everything, and it eased up some more funding to where that they would, you know, be able to do that in a big fashion. And also some of the companies out there that are helping to assist. I know that you noticed that we've had the auto industry and stuff that have changed, stopped making that, you know, automobile right now. They've changed over and they started helping make the ventilators. Stuff not necessarily the whole ventilator, but components to that and everything. So there's a lot of things that people are doing as far as the mask. I know you all were talking about that a moment ago, and some of the face shields and stuff like that, and some of that funding can go toward helping, you know, keep those folks in business. And as far as the unemployment piece of it, I'm not really for sure yet exactly if I understand exactly all the components of it and when, because I know everybody's is asking the question, when, like you said a moment ago, when do I expect to get my check in the mail? Well, I don't know. I knew that I heard a date this morning thrown out there just a little bit that they thought they would start as soon as April the 6th, you know, start issuing some of those checks. But don't hold me to that. I don't know. And like I said a moment ago, no, I don't. And but things are changing on a daily basis. And but I do, you know, I appreciate all of our folks that are trying their very best to put this in front. The first and foremost thing in front is the health and well-being of citizens of our country, our county, our state. And I feel like that, you know, that that's what everybody is trying their very best to do and everything. Like I said a moment ago, this is something that we've not ever been faced with. And we're working on some stuff, even at the county level, in our policies and stuff that, in our personnel policies and things that we normally, you know, go by all the time. But we've realized now that, you know, we've got to put another component in there because this is a pandemic. And so we're working on that right now with the attorney, our county attorney and everything, to try to get some of that stuff, you know, worked out to where that we want to take care of our employees as much as we possibly can. And, Thomas, I know that we, the Monday, we met with the offices and with the, I know Natalie was in the meeting and our county attorney and everyone about we made the decision to close the government complex down to public access. And but the offices are still there, and they're working, you know, out of the office on the phone or on emails. And just give a call if you come down there. And I hate for the inconvenience. I know it's inconvenient for everyone, but I certainly express and ask everyone to please be patient with us. And but you can give that office a call, and they will instruct you what they can do for you. And thank you for mentioning that a moment ago about, I know as far as a lot of people are concerned about the registration on their cars, their driver's license and stuff, and I know the state has addressed that. I think they've extended those deadlines out for a couple of months, something like that. We extended as far as the Senior Citizen Center, and I know that we got a lot of folks out there that misses that. I miss them, and I know a lot of them misses that. And Sandra, our director down there, is she's doing a daily welfare check. She's got a list of all the seniors, and she's calling them daily to check up on them and see if there's anything that they need. And if there is, we'll assist them in that. And I know the governor yesterday, I guess it was, or day before yesterday, I can't remember now exactly when it was, but he extended the deadline as far as the schools and stuff to the, is it 24th, Natalie? 24th. So that's probably where we're going to be at as far as our center and everything to extend that out. To bring everybody up to date on our government business, our county commission planning meeting has been postponed, and I know Thomas, you allowed me to come in just for a moment the other day, and I appreciate that very much. But the county court meeting we've postponed that as well, and hopefully we can get one set up toward toward the middle of April, about that deadline that the governor, unless that changes things like that, you know, like I said, you know, hopefully we'll be able to do a meeting. And we're looking at the possibility of doing, and I don't know how this is going to work because I've never done it before, and I know a lot of other counties are looking at this as well, conference meetings and stuff like that on conference call. And I want to thank Twin Lakes because they contacted me yesterday, I believe it was, and they are helping us all, not just us, but I mean all their counties in their region, setting them up on free conference calling for a couple of months. And we just got to figure out how to do it. And
that's for video conferencing, isn't it?
It can be done different ways. And again, I'm not really for sure how that all works and everything. Right now, I know that I have the capability, if I want to talk to you, Natalie, or some of our office holders or whatever, I can contact you and give you that number. And you can call in. And me being an administrator, I've got a number that I've got myself. I don't give that out to anyone. Other if I want somebody else to be the administrator, that will open that bridge up and everybody can talk and have a conversation and everything together.
You know, and I know, like I said, on video conferencing thing, I've been involved in that for a long time with that here, and I know that there are little applications you can put on your telephone that will use the thing called the IP number, which is everybody on the internet has an IP address, and you can connect to those IP addresses, and you can talk. That's how these people talk back and forth to each other. And I know that Twin Lakes has the capability of bringing in all of those and putting them on a big screen down there at the office. And I think there's things even set up where maybe that when somebody out remotely is talking, when they start talking, it'll bring their big screen, and everybody can see who's doing the talking down there. So, I mean, these things are, you know, we take them for granted, and But now all at once we've got all this stuff in place, thanks to people like Twins Lake and our Tri-County folks, you know, maintain all of these things that, you know, we have in place and ready to be used, don't we? Okay, now, Mayor, and I do know state employees, our teachers, state employees like that, I think that's in Tennessee code annotated that there's some type of national disaster emergency or something, that I think they remain on payroll, I believe. Is that not correct?
I don't know about that. I know that our school system right now, I know that, and I appreciate them very much. You know, they are continuing to do, even though school is out there, doing their lunch and breakfast and lunch meals available to the kids and everything. And I know they've been working on that, you know, for the last, I guess this starts the second week of it, that they've been doing that. And so I know the cooks and everybody that's still out there and they're still working, and they got volunteers. I think the teachers are coming in and doing some of the deliveries as far as setting up different places that they're delivering the meals to the kids and stuff. So I certainly appreciate them for that and thank them for their effort.
And I think all of our students are still being educated at home in some
manner. I think so, yes.
Some manner.
Yes.
Some of them, you know, by sending lessons home. And I think also, you know, there are a number of websites now that maybe the state has access to that the students can log into and do some of their studying online and that type of thing. So, you know, we're not shutting down everything. We're just, you know, we're shutting ourselves away from other people. I mean,
we're just going about it a different way.
Yeah.
Right, going about it in a different way. Okay, now, looking on down in the future, what do we see happening after all when this stuff starts slowing down? You know, the county, you know, we'll start reopening things. But, you know, the economic impact on our county here, I know we're small, but, you know, that's going to be a tremendous thing, isn't it? When we start trying to recover, even here in Clay County.
Well, anytime you know starts downsizing, it certainly won't come back as quick as you had to downsize. But it would take time for it to do that, and no doubt, you know, it's having an economical effect on just about everything. And but in a small rural setting, it's certainly it won't be as hard as it would be, you know, in larger metropolitan areas and stuff. But there's so many components, and me and Natalie was just talking about it a moment ago, that, you know, that you don't think a whole lot about and everything until you have to start looking at, you know. I know how folks said, well, we just need to maybe just shut everything down and everybody just go home for a while. Well, it's hard to do that because, yes, we want everybody to be aware and be prepared and do the things and try to abide by what the CDC has recommended, you know, for everyone as far as to be safe. And the social gatherings and stuff, you know, and that is and the social staying distance away from everybody. I can't say that distancing. I can't say that and everything. But and I think everybody is doing that. I see that a lot now, and I appreciate that so very much, because that right now that is the best way to try to flatten this curve that everybody's been talking about,
flatten,
you know, to try to slow this thing down and everything. And by everybody working together, we're in this together, and we're going to get through this together. God be our helper. And, I mean, he is the first and foremost one that, you know, that we certainly always need to look to. There's no virus out there that's any greater than God, and he's going to carry us through this. But we've got to be prepared. We've got to do the things, because, you know, the good book tells us that Jesus said, I'll help you, but you got to try. And, I mean, you know, we've got to do that and everything. So with cooperating with our emergency medical folks, our health department folks, and all that. And I know Natalie has been on top of it, and she's the one that I go to because she is my EMA director, and she directly has contacts with PEMA, which has got a task force set up now with the governor, and she's got a direct contact that is right there with them that meets on a daily basis and everything. So she's keeping us informed in the things that me and her met with this morning to come up with some decisions that, you know, in the event that it come down to it, what can we do? And so she's working on that right now. And Natalie, I thank you very much for your efforts that you, not only now, but I mean, you've always put in for us because the care that you have for the citizens of this county and everything. Thank you.
And, you know, and also looking out for it, you know, we continue to hear the term the most at risk. And, you know, our nursing home here in Salina,
right.
It seemed like, you know, they, just as soon as the rumor started, mm-hmm. they had the signs on the door out there for
Absolutely.
Everybody to stay out.
They did. They've done a wonderful job. I met with them this week. They were actually very critically low on those N95 masks in the event that they have a suspected patient out there, and so I made a request to Tima, and yesterday I had a box show up from FedEx that had those masks in there for them, so we were able to acquire them some masks, and they're doing an outstanding job. They're even screening the EMS folks. If you come in their door, they're screening you. So,
all right, and I do know, you know, looking down, Louisiana is one of the so-called hotspots now, and I believe from the news I heard that there have been maybe a couple of nursing homes down there that had been hit
yeah.
with a tremendous mortality rate in those.
And that's definitely a concern. You know, you don't want this virus getting loose in anywhere in your county or any facility, but we have to be particularly careful with our nursing homes. You know, it's done been said, you know, the most susceptible folks to this virus are those who are immunocompromised or have chronic respiratory problems, you know, and that describes a whole lot of people in your nursing home facilities. So
but that doesn't mean the folks that like to go down to Florida for spring break ought to just, since they're not as much of a danger to them. Hey, folks, this is dangerous to anyone, irregardless.
And, you know, if you look at the numbers, even in the state of Tennessee, if you look at the numbers of the confirmed cases, the majority of those numbers are hitting in that 21 to 30-year-old age range.
Yes, go ahead, Dale.
Well, that being said, you know, that it may not be affecting them. You may not even be aware that you were coming in contact with anyone that was affected. And then you come back home, and then you got a grandma or grandpa or someone that, you know, like Natalie says, has an underlying health condition or something like that. You know, we don't want that. And you don't want to do that. I mean, and nobody would intentionally do anything like that. But we're just, you know, advising everybody that right now, as far as social gatherings and stuff like that and your travels and stuff, you know, just kind of, you know, just put them on hold for a while. We'll get through this, and I mean, you know, then we can, you know, do the things that we want to do and everything. So, but again, yeah, that's we certainly need to keep that
in
mind.
We'll appreciate it more when we get back to it, maybe.
We will.
Absolutely.
With that, we're about to run out of time. I do know I need to give away a cake here. I got a number drawn out here. Wilma Brown, you have won the birthday cake.
Well,
so
I'll be to see you later, Wilma.
Be up by check on her here in a
that's
minute.
That's right.
Yeah.
And with that, you know, it's as we said, now over at the nursing home today, 1:30 to 3:30, begin the screening process. And this more than likely will be advanced with more time and more people involved, because they're not sure exactly how the National Guard, how that's going to play out with getting more help there and getting more folks there to do the screening, more of the test kits and all those things. But if it becomes necessary, of course, it'll be taken care of.
And we don't want everybody to, in the way that I understood it, and Natalie may have
touched on it. Don't let everybody run out there and get in line right now.
And you see, the National Guard's not going to roll in here in Humvees and stuff like that and everything.
No.
They're going to be, you know, it's going to be a low-key type thing, but they're just here to assist and help and reach that.
With that, I think we've about run out of time. And hey, guys, I'm so thankful you guys were able to come up and be with us.
Thank you for allowing us to do this.
And hopefully, we'll get through all this thing. And I know we may call you back again here.
Absolutely.
Sure.
We may be hollering at you and letting them come back and everything. So
you know how to take care of that.
And my last thought would be, Thomas, is everyone continue to pray that we will get through this, and just be patient.
We can do it.
Wash your hands.
Yes, wash your hands. With that, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again, and hopefully we'll meet you again here next week, WVFB FM 101.5, Kicks Country. We've got the doors all shut down here, and we'll take care of everything. And with that, good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.